Now, speaking of that, just a lot of good things have been happening this past year where we see God moving. And what I've noticed as I watch what God's doing, a couple of things have popped out to my mind. We say God's doing something. Well, specifically, what is he doing? Well, first of all, I see God moving among our members, our inactive members, and people who aren't connected to a church coming to church. And your part, you're here today because the Holy Spirit prompts you. And thank you for your obedience. Second thing I've noticed about people is that there's a deep hunger to grow in Christ. And we're seeing that with our discipleship classes and small groups. Third thing is that we're seeing a strong commitment of people wanting to serve the Lord. And our number of volunteers, it just keeps increasing, wanting to help. And not only do I see that here on Sunday, but I see it on Tuesday nights where I celebrate recovery. And then one of the smaller areas, not smaller, one of the more quiet areas that we really don't talk about is Wednesday night. My goodness, what God's doing among our children and youth. And then what he's doing among our music team. There's just a lot that's happening. And it's not because of us. It's because of God's breathing his spirit, and we're responding. Now, this morning, what I want to do is talk to you about the eight rules in growing in Christ or growing in godliness. Rule number six is redeeming our time. You're going, hold on, you talked about time. No, I talked about last week how short life is. Brevity of life, understanding the brevity of life. Today, I want to talk about redeeming time. And as we look at Ephesians 5, 16, 15 and 16, you have it up on the screen. The Bible says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And in the Greek, that's redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now just stop and think about it. We live in dark times. And the Bible's saying is stop and don't be unwise, but be wise. Think about how you're living your life, how you are managing your time right now. And before we dig into God's Word, let me give you just a couple of reasons why we waste time. The best ways to waste time, in my opinion, this is David, no research. This is just my observation. I'll take that back. There is some research. But the best ways to waste time, social media, just posting and reading posts. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, we're doing 21 days of fast for me. I'm just going to stay off of social media. It gets you depressed. It gets you mad. You know, Friday morning, whenever we do a fast, Satan comes after my family like nobody's business. Every year, we can specifically tell you where something has blown up or whatever in our lives. And Friday was no exception. As we get ready for the fast, the devil's just shooting everything at us. And I asked my wife to come into my study. We prayed, and then I got into the truck to run an errand. And you know when everything's just collapsing on you, you want to get bitter, you want to get mad. And I decided I'm going to redeem the time. Instead of thinking about what Satan's doing, I chose to worship God. Boy, that just changes everything. Here's a limited amount of time. And instead of being fussy, you know, blowing snot everywhere because it's not going my way, I chose to worship God. And that changed everything. This is what I'm talking about, redeeming the time. But what it messes you up real good is social media, just posting and reading posts. The second thing is a news junkie. And that includes weather, where you're just glued to the phone, to the computer, and you need to know what's going on. And during this fast, put that to a side and ask God, what are you doing so I can join you? The third way of what I've known how we waste too much TV or time is just watching too much TV. YouTube. I didn't realize how many channels YouTube has. Man, in the devil. I'm not saying YouTube's of the devil. But aren't all of these distractions out there? Mindless TV watching? And then how about being dominated by your smartphone? Everybody's got a smartphone. If you're in a meeting, your phone goes off and it interrupts that group meeting or prayer time or what. Have you ever tried to witness to someone? What happens? The phone goes off. Interruptions, domination by the smartphone. How about desiring to be a socialite? There's another nice way. If that you're just trying to be a gossip, you're hanging out at the water cooler, talking with people about what's going on, and you're just gossiping. The third one, and this is a different sermon, is staying up too late. I don't hear any moaning on that, okay? Thought I would. And I have my hearing aid just really souped up. But anyway, those are physical, worldly things. Now, when we talk about the spiritual things where we waste time, neglecting time with Christ, and you can see how that's been replaced by social media, being dependent on our abilities. We try to fix things our way instead of surrendering to God. What a waste of time. How about willfully living in sin? We can't manage our time. We can't serve God because we're living outside the boundaries of God. Amen? And then a big one is focusing on worldly items and not the kingdom. We're focused on what the world wants us to have instead of the agenda of Jesus Christ. And these are some wonderful ways of wasting time. So coming back to Ephesians 5 up on the screen, I want to read verses 15 through 21. It says this, and each one has something to deal with managing time, we'll talk about. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. When we're wasting time, it's hard to understand what God's doing. Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And then 19 and 20, speaking, once you're filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we surrender to the Spirit, something happens that we don't like to talk about, but verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Boy, we don't like that term, submission. That's a different sermon too. But the Bible's calling us to serve one another because Christ was an example for us. And so I have some thoughts on time that I want to challenge you. Then we're going to look specifically how to redeem time according to what Scripture says. Then we'll enjoy the rest of the day. You can go take a nap, catch that extra hour of sleep that you need that you lost. But when I think of time, the first thing that comes to my mind is that time is neutral, and we get to choose to use it for good or for evil. God gives us a limited amount of time, and how we use it, it can be used for good things or evil things. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith. They were serving God for some reason, they stopped and followed deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. I love that phrase, things taught by demons, because if something's not of the Bible, then it's from Hades. Or, let me just be nice, it's from hell. And so it's your choice. You can either believe the Word of God or you can believe the lies from hell. Amen? Let's not cut any corners. Let's just get straight to it. And so when we live life, we have to understand time is neutral. And I have to choose, do I want to use my time for the goodness of God, for good things where Christ can be formed in me, or do I want to choose it for my own selfish impulses? It's a choice. The second, let me give you another verse, 2 Timothy 3, it says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And tell me if this doesn't sound like America today. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Time is neutral. You can either use it to serve God, to do good things, or evil. The second thought that I have about time, and this is a really rocky world, is that God's gift of time is enough to accomplish everything He wants me to do. Some of you say there's not enough time in the day to do all that I want. That's correct. Satan wants to get you so busy that you neglect the stuff with God. But what God wants you to do is focus on Him, and He's giving you the perfect amount of time to accomplish the things that He wants to do in your life. Amen? Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And so you need to ask yourself, am I too busy doing the wrong things, or can I refocus my time and energy to do the right things and have a life more of contentment and peace? That's a question you have to answer. The third question is that God's gift of time requires me to accept responsibility for my time. God's giving you a responsibility. He's giving you X amount of time. Are you going to use it for God or not? That's a question that you will have to answer. But notice what Galatians says. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. And so you were very responsible with your time today. You got up. Some of you got cleaned. Some of you, maybe some deodorant. But you took the time to get here to do what? To worship God. That's pleasing to God. You took time to do that. You did well in managing your time this morning. And so God has given us a responsibility for our time. Now, in a moment, one of the points is He's going to hold us accountable for it. But before we get there, let's look at a couple other points. God's gift of time requires me to conduct myself with wisdom and care. Let's come back to Ephesians 5:15. Be very careful, the Bible says. It's a warning. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So what God is saying to you through His word this morning, you have a limited amount of time, period, but in that time you can accomplish everything I want you to do for today. But to do that, it means that you have to be wise. And you have to take extreme care to protect that time. Does that make sense? It means you got to prioritize things. And this whole prayer and fasting that we're entering into is to a time to put aside the things of the world so that we can focus on God and begin to be wise and live our life with care that brings honor and glory to God. Amen? Does that make sense? All right, now as we move from verse 15, let's look at verse 16. Verse 16 says this, God's gift of time requires me to continually redeem the time. You have X amount of time. That time is neutral. You can either use it for good or bad. We have to accept responsibility. God wants to move in your life in that limited amount of time. But now what He's wanting you to do is continually redeem that time for His glory. Verse 16, making the most of every opportunity, or in the Greek, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. If you don't redeem the time, then you know what's going to happen? That neutral time is going to slide to bad stuff. Because we live in a fallen world. And when we live in a fallen world, bad things happen. Period. But the one who has come to reconcile and to straighten our things, Jesus Christ. And when He comes back, it's over. Game's over. Everything's going to be perfect again. Amen? But in the meantime, He is calling us to redeem the time, especially in this period of evil. And so that means I'm constantly thinking about, all right, God, how can I take this time and use it for Your glory, where it grows me closer to Jesus to be like Him? And some of you may be saying, oh, I'm not interested in that. Well, I hate to say this. God's gift of time will require an accountability for my decisions. God's going to hold you responsible, but He's going to hold you accountable one day. Everybody in this room, everybody on this planet, one day will stand before Jesus Christ. Philippians 2 says this. And to the glory of the Father, everybody's going to kneel. To the glory of the Father, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and King of Kings. Amen? And then those who are righteous go to heaven because of Jesus. Those who didn't trust Jesus, you're in trouble. You have chosen to live eternity apart from God, and God's going to allow you to go there. God doesn't send people to hell. You send yourself to hell. because you choose to say no to Jesus. And it's the same with this time. Notice what he says in verse 17. Paul says, therefore do not be foolish. Remember what verse 15 said? Be wise. Here's 17. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And that means at any time you can go to the Father in heaven and ask questions. God, what do you want me to do? And hear me on this. His Spirit will lay on your heart, I need to stop doing this. I need to stop potty mouth. I need to stop looking too much internet or too much TV or whatever. And it might be, and replace those things by spending time reading the Bible. I just want you to think, yesterday, how much time did you spend reading the Bible? Or this morning? And you say, well, I'll do it tonight. Cool. Okay. I found out when I read the Bible in the morning, it starts my day off because everything blows up, but I reflect on the verses of what God is doing. Let me just kind of share a little bit as an example to you. I'm not bragging, of my quiet time in the morning. I get up at 5, I work through about 8 devotions, and those devotions take me about an hour, and what I'm doing is writing down all of the Bible references. And I put it in a journal, and I'm just reading, and what it's doing is helping me to memorize Scripture. And then the next hour, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read selective passages from the Bible. For example, this morning, I'm reading through the book of Acts, which we'll do after Easter. And so, read a couple of chapters out of Acts. Okay, tomorrow I'll do Acts and Luke, since that's in our reading. And then yesterday, I did 9 chapters there of Jeremiah, wanting to read Jeremiah. This morning, I think I did 5 chapters there of Jeremiah. Okay, and then I did a couple of chapters out of 2 Chronicles. 6 and 7 and 8. Remember Solomon doing the dedication of the temple in chapter 7, verse 13. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Man, beautiful passage. And then I'm rereading through Exodus. And so I did chapters 5 and 6 there. So what is that, about 8 chapters this morning? Start my day off good. Then I spent time in prayer, then worked through the devotion, the prayer and fasting guide. And you're going, but David, you're a pastor. No, I'm not. I'm an ordinary person like you, but what I've chosen to do is redeem the time. Now, I got up at 5 this morning. I did go to bed at 8 last night. I was tired. And so if you text me at 9, I will respond at 5 o'clock in the morning, okay? Just want you to know that. But what I've chosen for me in recovery from the start, I need to go to bed early, but my priority when I get up in the morning is to spend time with God, because when I come to work at 8 o'clock, everything has been thrown off the schedule, and I have to focus on what God has prepared me for. Does that make sense? And that's why, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So you ask God, God, what is it that you want me to stop doing? What is it you want me to start doing? What changes do I need to make in my life? And when you do this, here comes a key passage, verse 18. Now, let me chase a rabbit with verse 18. It's talking about, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Die-hard, blue-blooded, red-blooded Baptist, whatever you want to call me, okay? Drinking in itself is not a sin. Did you hear me? Drunkenness is. And what this passage is talking about is what is controlling your behavior. You follow me? Notice this. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. If you get full of the things of the world, you're going to do stupid things with your time. What the previous verse said, be wise. Okay? Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So every day you have a choice in your time management. Are you going to live for the world doing the things you want to, or are you going to live in submission and surrender to the Holy Spirit? Amen? Are you with me? Let me just make sure you're with me. I know you lost an hour of sleep. I know some of you are getting sleepy. I'm getting sleepy. I get that, you know. But Ephesians 5:18, instead be filled with the Spirit. God's gift of time requires me to answer the lordship issue in my life. Who's going to be in charge of my life? You can't say you, because if you're doing, now you're denying the lordship of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, I want Jesus as Savior. No, all you're wanting is insurance from hell. Everybody wants Jesus as Savior. I don't want to go to hell. But the Bible says Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that means he has to have total sovereignty over your life. Amen? And that means I have to surrender my time, my desires to him for his glory. And when that happens, things start changing. Look at verses 19 and 20. When I redeem the time for the Lord, that means I surrender to the Lord. I'm not going to allow the things of the world to dominate me. I'm going to surrender to the Lord. My attitude and perspective on life changes. Do you remember the opening of the story? Bad day Friday morning, things blowing up. I have a godly wife I can call, and she prays with me. I pray with her. Amen. If you're not praying together, husbands and wives, y'all need to start praying together, because if you're not praying for your spouse, who is? That's another sermon, okay. You remember when I got in the truck and I had all of these, I just wanted to gripe and grumble, and then I made a choice. No, I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to redeem the time. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how I told you I went from a negative, bitter person, grumpy, and then in a nanosecond, man, no, God's got this. I'm praising the Lord. And my whole attitude and perspective changed. It's called redeeming the time. This is what it's about. Are you with me on that? Do you understand? And when we surrender to the Holy Spirit, and then God's Spirit comes in us, we start wanting to worship God. We start looking at the things God has done and he's doing. And we're going, that's where I want to be. Because if we choose not to, we become bitter people. Not the people God created you and me to be. Amen? Now, notice this, verse 21. You're not going to like it, but verse 21. When I redeem the time for the Lord, my love for him moves me to serve others. Remember Ephesians 5:21, all right, I'm serving the Lord, I'm focusing on him, I'm loving the Lord, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wow, now I'm going to stop and look at hurting people, and I'm going to ask myself, all right, God, here I am, my problems are tiny, these problems are big, how can you use me to help others? Jesus even said this, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Amen? Okay, I don't know. I'm trying to read faces. And I'm trying to understand. Do y'all really grasp the concept that I'm talking about here? God's given us some time. It's a limited amount of time. That time can be used for good or evil. God's given us enough time to accomplish what he wants. But it's only going to happen if we take up the cross, deny ourselves, we surrender to him. If we want to do the thing, you do not have enough time to do the things of the world and the things of God. And it's okay to read a good book. It's okay to watch a movie, to watch the Cowboys whoop up on somebody or the Astros defeat. That's okay. As long as you're spending time with the Lord. And when you spend time with the Lord and you focus on him and you surrender him, he changes your heart, he changes your attitude. You're no longer a bitter, grumpy person. You know, if your spouse is bitter, grumpy, tell them they need to read the Bible. And if they refuse to read the Bible, tell them to come talk to me. Okay? And we'll sit and read scripture together. And if you really want us to talk about, start with Philippians. Talks about joy, talks about contentment. Four chapters. I mean, you can read it in about 20 minutes. You know, if you really want to get deep, let me take you to Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, I'm going to wipe you out because you forgot what I've done. I like that stuff, don't you? Okay, anyway. But when we serve the Lord, we start redeeming that time and it changes everything. Now, real quick, three things. How do I redeem the time? Here you have the NIV, Ephesians 5:16. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. literally in the Greek, New King James, redeeming the time. God's giving you 24 hours today. And actually, in today, 11 hours and 23 minutes have gone by. That means I still have another hour to preach, okay, before the next service. What it means is now you only have 12 hours and 30 minutes. What are you going to do with the remaining 12 hours and 30 minutes? Some of you, you got to eat. I get that. How much time are you going to give the Lord? And so how do I redeem the time? Remembering, because we live in a fallen, evil world. And so we have some choices. What are those choices? Well, the first choice that comes to mind is I choose to use God's gift of time for His glory. It's all about the kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Notice this. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. So the very first thing you're going to do in redeeming the time is saying, okay, Jesus, I'm coming to you. I need your forgiveness. I need your cleansing. I need to be right. I want to focus on you. I need to be aligned with your priorities. And notice what the Bible says. You know, the previous verses deal with worry. And Jesus is saying, all these things will be given to you as well. God knows what you need, not what you want, but what you need, and He's prepared to meet those needs. But He's saying, get your act together, get me first. And so if we're going to redeem the time, we have to choose first, I'm going to use it for God's glory, by saying yes to Jesus. Okay? Not real hard. The second thing, I choose to use God's gift of time to grow in Christ. Now this becomes the challenge. It's real easy to come in here for 20 minutes or hear me preach for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, worship for an hour. But it's a different story to commit 30 minutes or an hour each day reading the Bible, praying, growing in Christ. And this is what the Bible says, not me, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Guys, how can you do it if you're not opening your Bible and reading it? How in the world are you going to understand what the kingdom agenda is if you're not reading the Bible? How in the world are you going to understand His will if you're not reading the Bible? And guys, that's why America is going to hell in a shopping cart, is because Christians have refused to read the Bible. We've refused to read the time or redeem the time, and everything's going to kaplooey. Amen? If I'm wrong, fire me. I'm just preaching God's word to you guys. And the Bible says we need to be using God's gift of time to grow in the Lord. We do that by reading the Bible. Amen? Now next week we'll talk about being in a small group. We'll see how many of you show up next week. Chicken. Okay. All right. Anyway. The last thing to redeem the time is that I choose to use God's gift of time to be an example of others. Let's see if I can do this without breaking down. We all go through tragedies and hardships, and Satan knows our weaknesses, and man, he loves to attack and pound and bomb and all this. Notice this. Humble yourselves. What does that mean? Okay, God, I give up, I surrender. Therefore, under God's mighty hand, in the Greek, that word mighty hand, most powerful entity in the universe. So I humble myself. God's hand is over me, protecting me. But it says this, but He's going to lift you up. He's going to pull you out of that situation. Now catch this, and do what? In due time. God is on His schedule working His way. Wednesday night, I was, saw the surgeon and was getting back late. So I had Kenneth Montague teach my Wednesday night group. It's a cool group. You know, if you're not part of a small group, Wednesday night 6 over at Judy Wood's house. We'll give you more information on that. Just a wonderful group. Anyway, in that group is, I have several mentors in this church. And one of them is Dr. Mathis. Brilliant guy. Sometimes he says some things that I take to heart. Sometimes he says some things that are right and true, and I hate him. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Kenneth said something profound that caught my attention. He goes, Dr. Mathis, who's very wise in years, we'll leave it at that, He goes, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you're teaching, helping people, but you did not know that during that time, God is shaping you to take care of a messed up pastor. Okay, some of you are listening. All right, you got that. Good. And that's true. God is working in your life right now. And in due time, what he's doing is going to be used to help other people. And we have to trust God in his timeline and schedule. Amen? And I really appreciate what Kenneth said because that's true. God is shaping us. And it might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but at some point, God's going to use you to impact other people. Notice this, that he may lift you up in due time, and he wants you to cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Let me chase this rabbit. If you're struggling with worry, I double dog dare you, take out a piece of paper, write out all of the things that are bothering you, toss, you know, crumble it up into a ball. And that word cast means you literally throw it to him. And this is the illustration I always use. Throw it into the trash can. And when that anxiety or worry comes back, I want you to go crawl in that trash can and hug that ball that you just threw in there. Because what you're saying is you rather hang on to your anxiety than to the promises of God. Amen? Now, if I really want to terrify you, Jamie, can you chase a rabbit? Can you put verse 8, 1 Peter 5, 8? Now, it starts with humbling yourself. That's redeeming the time, getting right with God. But if you don't want to do that, okay, cool. Let me close with this last verse. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Here's your choice for today. You can surrender, get right with God, redeem the time, start living the life he wants you to live, or you can let the devil eat you up. It's your choice. That's what's going to happen in the rest of 2024. Every day. Either I'm going to redeem the time and live for Jesus, or I'm going to say, no, I'm going to do it in my power, and you're going to find yourself with a smashed-in face and the devil whooping up on you every moment. The only person that can defeat the devil is Jesus Christ, and he can only defeat him living in you. That's why Scripture says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Satan's a bully. And when he sees Jesus living in you and that you're right with Jesus, he's going to look for an opportune time to attack. That's why you have to constantly redeem the time. Guys, we're in a spiritual warfare. And our country needs us. There are people dying and going to hell today. Last thing I'm going to say in this closing illustration. I'm in therapy I had a total knee replacement about 3 weeks ago. Doing good. The most painful part is some of the stretching, getting on a bicycle or holding the leg. And so they said, all right, David, we're going to do this for 2 minutes. And it's going to be a little painful. Or 120 seconds. I can handle 100. After 20 seconds, I was bubbling. I was crying. God, get me out of this, okay? Did God get me out of that? No. He was teaching me a lesson. Now, this is what the Lord laid on my heart. For the next 180 seconds. Think of hell. You're in a lot of pain right now. This is just for a few seconds. But hell is a painful place for all eternity. Do you know someone you want to go to hell? God created people not to go to hell, but to worship him. He saved you so that you could be a testimony to other people. Man, that humbled me. God, how can I share my faith more? How can I lead people to know Jesus more? The pain that I went through, that was just a short time, just a few seconds. But when you stop and you think about eternity, it never stops. It never stops. Now, we want to share Christ with people, not because we don't want them to go to hell, but because God created them to worship him and we love people. Amen? That's the bigger thing. But there is a hell out there. And the best way for us to be a witness is to start redeeming the time. Can you do that? I'm going to close this in prayer. The praise team's going to come up. Pastor Scott Williams is going to come. He's going to take over the invitation. If you want to join Covenant and you've taken a membership class, you can come talk to him. If you need prayer, you can come talk to him. There'll be others in the back. Okay? If you need to rededicate your life or to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, you come and you talk with him. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time that you've given to us to worship you. Help us to redeem this time, Father, by surrendering to you, by rededicating ourselves to you. Father, bless this time with you as we are drawn closer to your heart. Father, use us now for your kingdom expansion. And Father, would your perfect peace be upon your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand and join our praise team.